It is our humble prayer that by this wonderful association we can all eradicate these dirty things in our hearts. So today we will, in honor of Govardhan Puja, we will read from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24, texts 23 and, no, 32 and 33. Tata cha vyadadu sarvam yataha madhusudana vachayitvasvyastayanam tadravyena giridvijan uparita balin samyag Adrita Yavasangavam Go Janani Parakshatya Girim Chakru Padakshinam Tata Thus Cha and Vyadadu They executed Sarvam, everything, yata, as, aha, he spoke, Madhusudanaha, Lord Krishna, vacha yitva, making the Brahmins recite, svastiyayanam, the auspicious chants, tat dravyena, with the paraphernalia intended for Indra's sacrifice. Giri, to the hill. Dvijan, and the brahmanas. Uparitya, offering. Balin, the presentations of tribute. Samyak, all together. Adritya, respectfully, Yavasam, grass, Gavam, to the cows, Godanani, the bulls, cows, and calves, Paraskritya, placing in front, Girim, of the hill, Chakru, they performed. Pradakshinam, circumambulation. Srila Prabhupada, you die. Translation and commentary. Is this Prabhupada's? Yeah. No, but the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudana had suggested. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the brahmanas with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows. Then placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Purport. The residents of Vrindavan were simply devoted to Lord Krishna. That was the sum and substance of their existence. Being the Lord's eternal associates, they were ultimately not concerned with Lord Indra or ritualistic sacrifice, and they were certainly not interested in the mechanistic philosophy that Krishna had just spoken to them. They simply loved Krishna, and out of intense affection, they did exactly what he had requested. Their simple, loving mentality was not small-mindedness or ignorance, since they were devoted to the Supreme Absolute Truth, who contains within himself all existence. Thus, the residents of Vrindavan constantly experienced the highest essential truth underlying all other truths, and that is Sri Krishna himself, the cause of all causes, and that which sustains the existence of all that exists. The residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed in loving service to that supreme absolute truth. Therefore, they were most fortunate, most intelligent, and most pragmatic of all living beings. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpatruhusya Kripasindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So today is one of the most prominent festivals in our Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage. It's a very extraordinary festival. And if you've ever been to Vrindavan, you'll see that it's the most celebrated festival. Because Govardhan Hill and the worship with Krishna is just so dear to the residents of Vrindavan. So I thought that I would perhaps elaborate a little bit more on this description in these verses and give a description of the actual Govardhan Puja that occurred with Lord Krishna. Often on Govardhan Puja we talk about the story of Indra and the whole devastation, but that actually didn't happen for a few more days. On this particular day of Govardhan Puja, it was simply a glorious, wonderful offering that all of the residents of Vrindavan made for the cows, Govardhan Hill, and the brahmanas on the request of Lord Krishna. So yesterday was Diwali, and on that day, long, long ago, Krishna had sent his cowherd boyfriends to beg from the brahmanas of Patrola some lunch. And we know the story of how they'd been refused, but how their kind-hearted wives fed the cowherd boys. And so after they were fully satisfied by that wonderful offering by the wives of the brahmanas, then they were going home. And as they went home, they passed by this village where the brahmanas lived. And there they saw Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men speaking with the brahmanas. And so Krishna stopped and he asked, why are you here? And Nanda Maharaj said, well, I'm arranging for these brahmanas to do the annual puja to Lord Indra. And Krishna said all these different arguments about why he didn't feel that was appropriate. Because Krishna had observed Indra Puja on previous years, but Krishna was understanding that somehow or other Indra was getting a little bit puffed up by this puja. And he wanted to change the heart of Indra. And he also wanted to reciprocate in the loving exchanges that he had received from all the residents of Vrindavan. Because every day Krishna and Balaram would go to the forest, and then the gopis couldn't see him for a while, the mothers couldn't see him, the cowherd men. And then he would come home at night, and then the cowherd boys couldn't see him. And there was always some part of the day when the residents of Vrindavan were unable to just fulfill their desire to just keep their eyes full of looking at Krishna. So Krishna thought, I have to reciprocate, and I have to fulfill their desire that they just want to see me 24 hours a day. So Krishna is so expert that with one pastime, he can arrange many, many other reciprocations to take place. So Krishna somehow or other convinced his father, Nanda Maharaj, that they should use all of the paraphernalia that had been prepared for the Indra Yajna and instead take it to worship Govardhan Hill. Because he said, all of us in Vrindavan, we need to have such gratitude for Govardhan Hill because it provides our livelihood. It's not that it comes from Indra, it comes from Govardhan Hill and the cows and the brahmanas. And so we must show our attitude of gratitude. And we see that that was actually a quip coined by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He always used to quote that we should all have the attitude of gratitude. Because that's actually the essence of Krishna consciousness, that we can see that whatever Krishna is arranging for us, we have to see that with gratitude, that's what we need in our lives. So if we always have this attitude of gratitude, then our spiritual life will nicely progress. So the Nanda Maharaj, he decided that, yes, all right, we will perform this sacrifice. And he said, please tell me, you know, exactly what I should do. So Krishna told him all the arrangements that he should make, order in which they should do everything, and to prepare everything very, very nicely. So when all of the other cowherd men and kinsmen were around Nanda Maharaj, they said, this sounds so wonderful. Yes, yes, let's do it. So Nanda Maharaj saw that everyone else was also very enthusiastic about it, and so they proceeded. And so early the next morning, the Vrajavasis, they bathed and they dressed and ornamented themselves, and they decorated their cows, they put silver bells on them and pearl necklaces, and they put silk cloths on their back and plated their horns, freshly plated with gold. And all the calves, they could understand that something exciting was happening. So they were running around and jumping up and down just to see their mothers so nicely decorated. And it's described that the bulls were bellowing in the morning mist, just as if they were chanting their morning prayers. So Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they actually looked as regal as Indra. And they were herding their sons before them, and they were heading towards Govardhan Hill. And behind them was this endless stream of servants carrying the wealth from their autumn harvest. And behind them came all the other residents of Vrindavan with all of their ingredients that they wanted to also offer to Govardhan. And everyone was all dressed and wonderfully ornamented. And the gopis also came in, some of them in bullock carts. And Radharani herself came in a palanquin with Lalita and Vishakha on either side. And Radharani, she was always peeking out through the cloths on her palanquin just to get an eager glimpse to see Krishna. So, also unseen by the Vrajavasis were Lord Shiva, decorated in his ashes, carrying the Ganges in his matted locks, and riding on his Nandi carrier bull. No one else could see them, but the demigods also caught wind of this, and it wasn't to be missed. So the entire community was walking south along Giriraj and just singing of all the pastimes that Krishna had enacted, and herding their cows in front of them. And as they were going, nobody even noticed this little hill where they used to perform the Indra Yajna. They used to raise this big flag for Indra, but it wasn't up today. But instead, Nanda Maharaj had the hill decorated with rows and rows and rows of gold-trimmed flags. There were all along all the 100 peaks of Govardhan. It just looked so gorgeous with the morning sun, and then you could see all the jewels on Giri, on Govardhan, glistening. And Govardhan just looked so splendid with his jewels and these flags. The acharyas described that he looked like a young groom on his wedding day, so gloriously decorated. So there was a lot of Vedic chanting happening, going along, and the sounds were just tumultuous and extremely spiritual. So much so that even the forest creatures, they were just feeling joy because they could understand, wow, there's this really auspicious festival happening. So when they got to Govardhan Hill, the brahmanas, they selected a large protrusion in Govardhan Hill that would be the part of the hill that would be worshipped specifically, because it's such a huge hill, they had to pick part of it to do the worship too. So they brought all the offerings that they had collected for the Indra Yajna, plus additional ones. They went all out. It was more offerings than were ever offered to Indra. And so they blew their conch shells, chanted all their mantras, had very aromatic incense they were offering to this part of the hill. They decorated it with all wild flowers and a big ghee lamp with camphor. And after they completed the artik, then they anointed the Giriraj with cow dung, just like we put sandalwood pulp on. They put the cow dung all on the hill, and they also offered sandalwood pulp. They offered him a sitting place, cool water, something to wash his hands, just a regal worship, just like we worship the deities in very glorious ways. This same puja was offered towards Govardhan. So, after the artik, they offered him this beautiful abhishek, and when all of the residents were just watching the water pouring down, they just felt such joy in their hearts. And so they did abhishek with water, with milk from the cows, with earth from holy places, honey from all the hives in the forests, and a very rich panchamrita. So after they finished the abhishek, they took these big towels and they dried it all off and they shined them up and put wonderfully embroidered cloth all over the outcropping, gave them a jewel-studded crown. And then all the Vrajavasis, they prepared these wonderful flower garlands with love. And they came and they offered them to the brahmanas to offer to Govardhan. And it was just such a wonderful, heartfelt offering that was offered. And so then again, they had another artik with various types of ghee lamps. They had this huge kirtan going on with drums and cymbals. And it made such a clamor that it just pervaded the entire universe. It was enough clamor, as described, to give Indra a headache. So after this, the Vrajavasis, they all gathered around and they offered Pushpanjali to Giriraj. And then they showered the hill with grains. And then they started offering the food. So one cannot even imagine the offerings that were prepared for Govardhan. There was just hills of grains, vegetables, fruits, bottomless lakes of ghee, yogurt, milk, honey. Everything that had been in Nanda Maharaja's storehouse was brought. And just countless preparations had been cooked. There was just such a variety of tastes and aromas, and everything was served on these wonderful leaf plates and leaf cups and clay jugs, and they were placed on silk tapestries that were laid end to end around. And it's described that even the kings in heaven had never seen such succulent preparations offered in sacrifices today. And so these tapestries, they went actually a great distance around Govardhan Hill. There was just so many preparations offered. So when everybody looked at this, they were just struck with wonder. How can Nanda Maharaj possibly offer so many things in this way? And they could understand that he must directly be favored by the goddess of fortune. So the residents of Vrindavan were very happy to see this, and they actually had placed their full faith in Krishna, and they were so happy to be worshipping Govardhan Hill. And they were just happy in that. They had no idea that Giriraj would reciprocate even further. So after all this puja, they were offering their obeisances on the ground. And all of a sudden they heard this great rumbling, like 100 thunderclaps. And they looked up, and they saw this beautiful blackish giant sitting on top of the hill. So Krishna had actually manifested a colossal second form of himself just to reciprocate with the Vrajavasi's faith in Govardhan Hill. And this form was actually non-different than Krishna. And so it was just irresistibly attractive to look at. But it was so huge that the Vrajavasis couldn't quite figure it out. And so, you know, they're looking, and he had this dark complexion, golden glittering ornaments, and he had a huge flower crown. It's quite befitting, a flower crown. So then this deity, it sat down on a peak of Govardhan, just as if the peak was a throne. And it was facing the cowherd men and looking very, very blissful and swaying just like vines would sway in the wind. So the gopas, they just offered their obeisances and they were on their knees looking. And some of them, they thought, well, maybe this is just a mirage that we're seeing. Or others thought that maybe it was the mountain personified, just sort of, they were seeing faces in the mountain peaks. They didn't know what to think of it. But somehow or other, they were just in awe. Even the cows and the bulls, they were just standing motionless, and all the other animals, the rabbits, the deers, the peacocks, they were just dumbstruck to see this wonderful sight on top of the hill. So the Brajavasis were actually a little bit fearful because it was such a huge form. And they didn't know what to make of it. And Krishna saw this. So Krishna said, "Oh Lord, who are you?" And at first, this divine form, it just rumbled like thunder clouds. And then the gopas, they all thought, oh boy, we're finished now, you know. But then the giant, in a hushed voice, full of compassion, he said, "Oh, little boy with graceful limbs, I am Govardhan Hill." And this proclamation, it just resounded all through Vaja. And everyone who heard it, you know, was just felt empowered. You know that I, O residents of Vrindavan, I am the presiding deity of this place, and I have appeared because I am pleased with your devotion. Please ask for me anything your hearts desire. So the Vrajavasis, they were just love-filled, that the Lord would just come in person and reciprocate with them in this way. And Giriraj, he said, don't think that I am just some deity who doesn't reciprocate. I am so pleased that I had to come before you in person and just thank you and reciprocate and offer you blessings. So because Giriraj wanted to reciprocate, he wanted to come personally to show them that he was accepting their offerings. And so he extended his right hand down and he began to eat all of the food, the rice and the vegetables and the sweets and the drinks. And now the Vrajavasis, they kind of forgot their fear. And wherever, whatever preparation he would reach for, you see, you have to remember the preparations, they were all spread out. So if he would reach over here, the Vrajavasis would run over there and they would look up at his face and see the reaction. Did he like the taste of that? And then he would reach over here and they would run all there and he would go, please eat more, eat more. And so we know that today that place where the foods were offered is called Anior, because they were asking him, please eat more, eat more. And so this went on for quite some time, until there was actually, they'd eaten everything that Nanda Maharaj had brought. So other residents started to cook and open their treasuries and their storehouses and bring it forward. And people all around started bringing and bringing and bringing. And the Govardhan was eating and eating. And finally, they just didn't have anything left to offer him. And so they just looked at Lord Balaram, what shall we do? And Balaram took one tulsi leaf and he offered it in the hand of Govardhan. And Giriraj, he ate that and he was completely satisfied. And so then he wanted to rinse his mouth. So he took some water from a nearby kund. And when he spat it out over his shoulder down the back of the hill, then all of a sudden, this lush savanna just instantly sprouted up, these wonderful green grasses and flowers. And so he wanted to sweeten his mouth after he'd eaten. And so he just chewed on two or three cartloads of betel nuts just to sweeten his breath. And so he was sitting there. And then the worship of Giriraj had been, after that they decided that they needed to offer him an artik. But they were trying to find a lamp of suitable dimensions that they could offer to such a big deity. And so somehow or other, Krishna just manifest this massive, gigantic tray with thousands of flames. And it was such a big tray that all the gopas together had to like take sides of it and lift it up and do it, you know, en masse. They had to hold it all together and offer this to Giriraj. So after this, Krishna had described that when Giriraj is satisfied, then they should worship the cows. And so all the cows were nicely ornamented, and then they were set free to mingle with their calves, and they were offered nice grasses. But they weren't eating. And one of the astute cowherd men, they said, they're not eating because Krishna hasn't personally fed them. They cows, they needed to smell the fragrance of Krishna's hands on the grass when he fed them before they would eat. So Krishna actually manifested himself into as many forms as there were cows. And he went to each cow and he, you know, scratched them behind the ears and patted them and called their names and made these, you know, soft little sounds to them. And he fed them the grass with their hands and then with his hands. And they were all just, you know, so delighted and satisfied. And so they wanted to complete the puja by circumambulating them. But the problem was, there was millions of cows. And so Krishna said, we can just take one cow and circumambulate that, and one bull and circumambulate that. And that will yield the same auspiciousness as if we circumambulated all of them. So in this way, they worship the cows and the bulls and the calves. Krishna described that just as one can nourish a tree by watering the roots and all the leaves and branches will be satisfied. So if we just fully satisfy one cow, then all the cows will be satisfied. So then they worship them further by decorating them again and offering them cloths and painting those pictures on their bodies. You know how you dip your hands in paint and you put them all on the sides of the cows. And the calves, seeing this, they all became frisky and were jumping around and very happy. So then Krishna said, now we must offer our obeisances to the cows and the calves and the bulls. Because he described that is the heart of devotion to the cow, that we offer our obeisances, our heartfelt obeisances to him. So they finished the worship of the hill and the cows, and then they wanted to, and also the, so then they thought that, okay, we have worshiped the cows, now we must also worship those who care for the cows. And so they elaborately bathed and dressed and ornamented Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and Balaram and all their friends. So after this worship, then they had a fire sacrifice, a huge sacrifice. And it's described that the Brahmins poured so much ghee into it that the flames were just practically, you know, reaching the heavens. And after this, Nanda Maharaj, he offered the brahmanas, you know, cows, villages, grains, land, and saying, please, you know, accept all of these things. And they were completely satisfied by these gifts, but Nanda Maharaj said, oh, we must feed them also. So they fed the brahmanas so much delectable foodstuffs. It's described that they were fed until they laughed in ecstasy and were perspiring. And after that, they were just resting, you know, in the shade of trees or some awnings. And then so Nanda Maharaj, he fed all the other guests. And then after they were all fed, then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their close friends, they went into a secluded grove and they also ate. So it's described that everybody isn't, Krishna's family members, they're not hungry. But they want to eat and feed Krishna just so they can be with him and be beside him and feel close. So they're offering, they're finishing their meal. And, you know, of course, when they're having their meal, Madhu Mangala's doing his antics and Mother Yashoda, she's fussing that Krishna's not eating enough. And so then after they'd finished eating, Krishna, he said, you know, this hill has so kindly appeared in person before us and bestowed his mercy upon us that we should offer our, you know, heartfelt obeisances to him. And so everyone fell down like sticks, offering their respects to Giriraj. And they were just felt so much gratitude that it's described that they were just, everyone was just looking at Giriraj and you couldn't even hear a leaf rustle. They had so much gratitude for him appearing before them and blessing their worship. So now is the time to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So Krishna said we must circumambulate. And so at the beginning, again, Nanda Maharaj, he offered the brahmanas so much wealth. And he said, please come with us. And they were saying, oh, well, they were so full. They said, how about we just sit here and watch? And Nanda Maharaj says, no, you must come also. They said, all right, you are asking, so we will come. So they started to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And first, musical instruments, big drums. And then it's described, first came the cows, the white cows, and then all the colored cows. And then came Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men. And then some more instruments and singers and dancers. And then gradually all the other villagers and the gopis and all in this beautiful long procession. And so they were circumambulating with a lot of tumult and just beautiful singing and going all around. And Krishna and Balaram, they had these sticks that they would twirl. And so after a while, Krishna and Balaram, you know, they got, you know, they're young boys. They get tired of just walking along beside their parents. So they start like going here and there, and Nanda Maharaj is trying to keep track of him so he doesn't, you know, get in trouble. And every once in a while, Krishna would twirl his stick, would twirl up into the sky, and then he would catch it. And so he would do that very often so that Radharani and the gopis could see where he was. And so Radharani was just like peeking out to see if she could, you know, find his stick twirling so she could see him. So in this way, they made this beautiful, beautiful offering to Govardhan Puja, to Govardhan Hill. And this was the stunning way in which they worshipped the hill. And so after this, Giriraj, he disappeared. And then the Vrajavasis were just so happy that they decided to sleep that night by Govardhan Hill, because it was just such a wonderful conclusion for the day. So we can see that this worship of Govardhan Hill was just so dear to all the residents of Vrindavan, and that Krishna was so pleased by their mood of devotion that he couldn't help but just manifest himself and reciprocate personally. So we can take great inspiration from this pastime, the mood in which we need to, you know, perform our devotional service so that Krishna can be pleased with us. So I will end here because I see I'm out of time. And if anyone else would like to offer anything about the glories of Govardhan or anything else they would like to add, you are most welcome.
Where is that
Shiva Ram Swami's 7-volume Vrajamandala. It's a compilation of Gopal Champu, a little bit from Bhagavatam, and Vraja, can't think of it. I can picture the book, yellow book. Anyway, it's a compilation of all the way it's told in 3 or 4 Acharya's books and old histories, and then they compile it all into one story.
At least I heard a number of times. Was that when they? Well, first of all, when they offered all the food to Giriraj, then he kept on eating and eating and eating, and finally there was nothing left. And that he was saying, Aniyor, Aniyor, Aniyor.
That was also true, yes.
And then they gave him a tulsi leaf and he was satisfied. Mm-hmm. The other thing is when he ate, then he, I think the food was, the prasadam was manifested again. Because otherwise, how did the residents of Vrindavan?
It was described that because Krishna is there in the, you know, personally, that Nanda Maharaj never experienced any loss of what was in his treasury. So it's almost like as soon as his storehouses were empty, again they would come, because wherever there's Krishna, there's the goddess of fortune. So yes, it's all gone, but as soon as it's all gone, there it is again, just by the mercy of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Cook a feast for all the residents from Vrindavan on Govardhan Pooj, and we cooked a big feast in ghee. Everything was cooked in ghee, and they were serving out. The temple room was just packed with Vrijvasis, and they were so happy and so excited about the prasadam. It's such a vivid memory. 1977. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So we get to think about Giriraj all day today and carry on with the festivities and worship him with great devotion the whole rest of the day. So Govardhan Puja Ki Jai.